Blog Talk Radio.
Comment ça va? Ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien. Me, Sybil Brunchen, I'm coming to you live from high atop the Chrysler Building, the beautiful Art Deco Chrysler Building, from the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin, up, 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 high atop the Chrysler Building, overlooking all of Manhattan. We're getting ready for a big snowstorm tonight, which is very exciting. I simply just adore snow in the winter. I hate when winter doesn't have a point of view, when it's just gray and steel and cement and endless. When it snows, it just makes me feel absolutely wonderful. I know many of my fellow New Yorkers are apoplectic over it, but I am not. I'm here in our studio right now, the glamorous Café Berlin, with my producer and sponsor, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine, Mommy. I'm just fine. You know, New York is most beautiful covered in snow.
It is. And you know something? I love the seasons. But, you know, people say, well, wouldn't you rather live in Hawaii? And, well, of course, I would like to live in Hawaii. But do you like the seasons or do you not? I love all the seasons, but I like all the seasons to behave, much like I like my dinner guests to behave. I don't like people eating with their hands or their feet, and I don't like seasons not to pay in. When it's summer, I want some sun and I want some heat and I want some balmy weather. When it's winter, I want a snowstorm. I don't want seasons to sulk around and do nothing like my first husband used to. I really want a point of view, and tonight I guess we're going to get some point of view from winter. Darlings, I was just talking to Gwendolyn. Oh, before I say anything, I just want to say our sponsor, of course, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, is the founder of the DaughtersOfIsis.com website, and it is the fragrant memories of our ancestors. This company makes the most wonderful products, fragrances, and other products that expand our minds, our consciousnesses, our spirituality. Run, do not walk to DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's all one word. And check out their amazing products. They literally have scores and scores of products. I'm actually wearing tonight, as I do every podcast, I wear one of their fragrances to inspire and enlighten and enlarge my mind. And tonight I'm wearing, this is going to sound so Philistine of me. This is very Philistine of me. I'm wearing their fragrance Money. I didn't tell Gwendolyn that before we went on the air. Gwendolyn, I'm wearing Money tonight. And boys and girls at home, that's not mummy. That's not mummy, M-U-M-M-I-E, as in me. It's Money, M-O-N-E-Y. As a matter of fact, the label on the bottle is a dollar sign. It doesn't even say money. I am actually working on Gwendolyn to create a fragrance called Mummy, M-U-M-M-I-E. I don't know what it will have in it. Probably vanilla and lavender, you know, notes or things like that. I'm not suggesting any of that. But Money, and I'm hoping to inspire some lucrative work for Mummy in the near future. Can you tell us briefly about Money, the fragrance, Gwendolyn, since you're the one that invented it?
Well, it's actually one of our best sellers, and it's in a lot of shops around the country. It's a fun fragrance. It's based in earth tones. You can probably smell the patchouli and oak moss there that grounds it out. But there's also some bay and clove and summer savory. And
it's very spicy. May I say that it's very spicy? It is the clove notes in it, the patchouli. By the way, for those of you that lived in the 70s and have fond memories of patchouli, you'll smell that in there. For those of you that resent patchouli and say, oh my God, that's way too Manson family, no, this is not overwhelming. This is a wonderful fragrance. It's funny that leave it to Gwendolyn to have a sense of humor to call it money, because it does not smell like a whole bunch of old dollar bills taken out of grandpa's wallet. No, it's a wonderful fragrance, and you needn't tell people that it's money. You can just say, well, it's this great fragrance that I got from the daughtersofisis.com. I think it's great, Gwendolyn. I think it's just great.
Well, what makes it so much fun is that you should, when you want to attract something, you need to be clear, you need to be attractive, you need to have good feelings and feel happy and lighthearted.
So true. So true.
That, and what makes that scent, what tops it off, is there's a CO2 coconut in it, which top notes it. And it's the sweetness of the coconut with the spice and the earth that really makes it. People love it.
And that's what that must be why I love it so much, because when you send me a bottle, I literally put my tongue in my cheek and roared with laughter. I thought, oh, for heaven's sakes. The coconut notes in it are wonderful. I love the smell of coconut. And it's funny. It's one of my favorite smells. I actually use coconut oil as a moisturizer on my skin. People say, oh my God, mommy, how is your skin staying so pretty? And I have a feeling it's a couple of things. One of them is coconut oil. It is amazing. Amazing. I had to stop eating coconut oil because my cholesterol went through the roof. Sadly, my doctor, my family doctor said, what the hell is going on? You have a cholesterol count of now 11 bazillion. He pricked my finger to do some blood work, and coconut milk came out along with some shredded coconut. I mean, I was way overdoing it, and it was because I was taking a big spoonful of coconut oil every morning along with my vitamins and everything. And I thought that it was okay to do it as a systemic. And he said, oh dear God, you're going to look like the poppin' fresh man, the poppin' fresh boy in just a few weeks if you keep this up. So I had to stop, but he said I could continue to use it as a moisturizer. And I love the smell of coconut. I love this smell of money. The fragrance by daughtersofisis.com. Gwendolyn, thank you for being – I wore Kaifi last week, if you remember, and I'm wearing money this week. And I shall surprise you, Gwendolyn, with what I select for next week. I shan't tell you ahead of time. I shall let it be a surprise, and then we shall both have a great laugh on the phone, and you could tell me how it's going to affect my broadcast.
I have to tell you something. I actually – a friend of mine used to buy like 4 or 5 bottles at a time, and she supplied the stylist there in New York for years.
Uh-huh.
And she would give them out as gifts to people who did a lot of business with her. And apparently she gave one to a gal who was working a long stint at Macy's. A little corner they give you, and you do your product there, whatever. But she used the money oil, the money spray, and sprayed the area before they opened the doors and whatnot. Well, she did bang up business, banging business.
Wow.
And she kept spraying it. And the guys at Macy's said, well, where did you, what, how are you doing this? She never told
That's
them.
That's great. Listen, I have a quick question because I want to get to our questions from the audience. But quick question, does Daughters of Isis do fragrances in little roll-ons, like little purse roll-on sizes that people could carry in their pocket?
Yeah, I do.
You do all the fragrances in roll-ons, so someone could buy Kaifi or money or anything in a roll-on?
I actually, on my roll-on page, I just have money is the only one that's on there that's part of that. I only have a few. But if you buy one and you ask me to put whatever fragrance you want in it, I will substitute, you buy money, but I'll put Kaifi in it or Isis or,
So they can enclose that in their notes to you on the website.
Right. And I'm just getting ready to introduce a line of seasonal florals that are going to be little mini roll-ons.
Great.
So they should do very well if you like floral.
There's a company that is out of Ronkonkoma, Long Island, that does essential oils, and they're certainly not nearly as prolific as you are with, you know, hundreds of products. They have like 10 products, but they do feature them not only in a drip bottle, like a little the bottle with the classic dropper in it, the enclosed dropper, but they also do them in a line of small pocket roll-ons, which you can also refill. So if your roll-on of lavender or of whatever runs out, you can unscrew the top and refill it with an essential oil and then carry it with you in case you don't want to carry a spray with you and have it open up in a purse or in your coat pocket or whatever. So I recommend, you know, isn't this wonderful? DaughtersOfIsis.com personalizes their service much as Black Fifth Avenue with Crystal Allen in the women would personalize service with Summer Rain. And oomph. I want you to think of, I love oomph. That was my favorite fragrance. She said, oh, no, that one's called Oomph. I want you to think of Gwendolyn Holden Berry as your own Crystal Allen, but not a sociopath. She's not a psychopath like Crystal Allen. She's a wonderful sorceress of fragrance. And so you can think of it. You can. So you can call up DaughtersOfIsis.com or summon them up on the Internet, and then you could request that she make you a roll-on version of the fragrance that you like of their collection, and that way you could buy a bottle of it and then also order for an additional fee a roll-on, which could be refilled from the main bottle, and that way you can always carry around a little roll-on, a miniature roll-on, and do it on your wrists and your pulse points and, you know, behind your ears or whatever, just to keep that fragrance, you know, really going during the rest of the day. I do that with lavender and a couple of other things, and I need to get a couple of roll-on bottles from Gwendolyn so I can carry around my Isis fragrance with me.
A little tiny hint with essential oils, because essential oils are not like perfume or cologne, which has alcohol and it keeps it on the top of your skin so people always smell it. With essential oils, the scent dissipates depending on your body chemistry or whatnot. What the trick is to put the essential oil on the inside of your collar or, you know, your clothing. Good essential oils. Fragrances wash right out, but that's how you keep the scent alive, is to put it on material.
On material. Very good to know. I hope everyone was listening to that. With essential oils, always put it on fabric, on the collar of your shirt or your blouse, or on the inner the cuff of your sleeve, you know, at your hand where the pulse point
that's
is, but would also, when you're gesturing or whatever, you'd always be able to smell it. Excellent point. Thank you.
Yeah, women used to spray the handkerchief with the old perfume. It was old. You could read it in novels and see it in old movies where the woman had the handkerchief. That's because in those days, perfumes had a lot of essential oils in them and not as much alcohol.
Great. Good to know. All right, listen, I want to get right down to business now. Our phone number for this show is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Do call in, ask a question, chat with Mummy. I'm going to come up with some subjects tonight, but I'm having all of these dear friends of Come Now, Don't Sulk call in the last 3 minutes and not pay attention to the fact that the show is only an hour long on Monday nights, and you're calling in at the end, and it's like we can't chat with you. Other people have said, well, Mummy, I don't want to interrupt you because, you know, you're on a tear with your subject or this subject or that, and I didn't want to interrupt. This is an open conversation. I want you, now that 2019 is underway, I want you to think of Come Now, Don't Sulk as a dinner party in Mummy's salon. You've all been invited. Gertrude Stein is here, Pablo Picasso, a young artist named Salvador Dali, Ernest Hemingway bullying people and punching them, Zelda Fitzgerald drunk and throwing up in the corner. I want you to think of this as a wonderful salon, and it's 1925, and the world is magical, and you've been invited, and Mummy wants you to feel free to chat and bring up things that you'd like to chat about. For those of you that aren't calling in, or even for those of you that are calling in, I want to remind you that you can always find me, Sybil Brunchen, at SybilSays.com. That's SYBILSEZ. get it at SybilSays.com and it's SybilBrunchen.com on the internet. I have two websites. Please join me there. I'm always posting things there. Thank you, Yuri Kushner and Steve Buscher, for all of the work on those two brilliant websites, if I do say so myself. And the Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild on Facebook. Not only do I have my own Facebook pages, but we have a Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild, which is a completely happy, fun, and funny Facebook page with no provocative material. We don't go into politics. We don't do anything that is politically charged or attacking anyone. We try to keep it light and gay, with a big G on that gay. And we try and keep it very happy there. So post your brownie recipe. Show us pictures of your kittens. Tell us about your grandmother. But we keep it very, very happy. Please join us there. How much is your membership? Free. It's free, and we hope that you will share it. Speaking of sharing it, I knew you'd want to know. We have a new contest, a new Share the Love contest that's going to be drawn on March 31st. Share the Love on Facebook. Every time you post, or share rather, one of Mummy's posts from her pages or from the Lollipop Guild, anytime you share anything, a Tourette, a YouTube video, anything that you see on Mummy's pages, all of them, your name will be entered on a piece of paper, and that piece of paper will be put in a drum, and we will be rolling that drum, that raffle drum, on March 31st, and we will select a name. The more times you share things, the more your name goes on paper and into the drum, you increase your chances, and we will be selecting, or you'll be selecting, the winner will be selecting a Sybil Brunchen prize from the Zazzle.com catalog. Go to Zazzle, Zazzle.com, and check out the Sybil Brunchen novelty prizes there, t-shirts and coffee cups and key rings and all sorts of things. Used cars with Sybil Brunchen, all sorts of things. Anyway, go there and see. Yes, exactly. Old Studebakers with Sybil Brunchen, a Sybil Brunchen inflatable sex doll in the front seat. Select your Zazzle prize if you win. Okay, now I'm going to get right to what we are. We're all suffering from the midwinter why bothers. Mummy is suffering it just as much as all of you, and why wouldn't I? Mummy's birthday is in February. Before you all rush to wish me a happy birthday, my birthday was this past week. I kept it very secret. I am at an age now where I just can't bring myself to say the numbers anymore. It's one thing to be an age that is such a high number that it distresses you. It's another thing to go from two digit numbers to three digit numbers. Once you've hit three digit and four and five digit, once you've hit a number that has a BC in front of it or after it, you know that it's time to stop celebrating birthdays. It's just time to stop. And so I have withdrawn my birthday from the Facebook records. So some of you apparently scrawled it on a blackboard somewhere or whatever and guessed when my birthday was and wished me happy birthday. And you are all delightful and thank you. But two things were happening over the years. One was that, and I'm not bragging about this, but one was that when I would get birthday wishes from you on Facebook and Twitter and all of that, literally my Facebook page froze up last year and the year before too, from all the birthday wishes that were avalanching in. By my last count last year, I had 2,300 birthday wishes from last year. And I was literally consumed for 3 days thanking each and every one of you, which is what I did. Aww. I did thank every single one. And because I felt I should, and I, you know, that's the only thing I share with Joan Crawford is I do sign autographs. So I did, you know, thank everyone. Conversely, I have been doing, because of my 5,000 Facebook friend following and thousands more in followings and friendship thing at Facebook, I do as many as 25 to 35 birthday wishes a day to Facebook people. So I go through every day, and I was for 8 years, I went through and would do as 25 to 35. Sometimes it'd be 22, but sometimes it was 40. I had as many as 40 birthday wishes to do in one day. And so George would come out of the bedroom at midnight and say, "What the hell are you doing?" And I would say, "Well, I'm trying to do my birthdays for tomorrow morning." And he would say, God damn it, that, what the hell are you doing? It's 12:15 and you're still doing birthday wishes. Who do you think you are? The princess in the Rumpelstiltskin myth, you know, you're weaving straw into gold. And he's actually a very sunny and loving person, as you all know. But birthday wishes to strangers or to almost strangers was the breaking point. And so I don't mean this in a bad way. 1 out of 10 of you would actually care that Mummy wished you a happy birthday. Like so much of my presence on the internet, it goes completely unrecognized. A birthday wish would take me a couple of minutes, and I would write it and select a cute photograph. But, I mean, I've written my heart out on Facebook and on the internet and on my websites. I have some of the best, most creative things I've ever done are my writing. My acting at this point, I thought that I was a talented actress, but in fact, I think that my obituary will be that my writing was where I shone. My needlepoint and my writing. My needlepoint, my meatloaf, and my writing. Those will be my high achievements. And so having said that, I think that what I needed to do was if people aren't even noticing my writing, why would they bother with my birthday wishes to them? And so, sadly, I have stopped going on Facebook and different internet things, wishing everybody a happy birthday. It's not that I don't love you anymore, darlings. It's just that I couldn't keep doing it. It was a hobby that was taking me nowhere and was actually driving me to drink and drugs. And so I finally stopped. So I apologize. I know that some of you liked my birthday wishes, but it was a sad demographic. It was tiny. And so I have withdrawn my own birthday and I have withdrawn my activity in other people's birthdays. If you and I actually run into each other on the street, I will definitely celebrate your birthday. But across the ether, I can't anymore, and I apologize. Okay, that subject is done. Thank you for your birthday wishes, and that's the end of the birthday discussions ever again on this program. I want to remind you our number is 323-784-9639. Please feel free to call in. Next item, today's news, today's headline, Trump's performance at the press conference. All right, well, last week we discussed blackface. And this week, Gwendolyn and I were just laughing hysterically because it was a week ago that we were talking about blackface. And I don't know about your lives, but Gwendolyn's and my life are so eventful. And the news cycle is so eventful that I feel like we broadcast that blackface episode of Come Now, Don't Sulk a month ago. I feel like was it only 7 days ago we did that? My God, I feel like it was 30 days ago. It was so much happens now in the news cycle. And so tonight I was prepared very briefly because I don't want to take up the show with news items only, but I was prepared to discuss the shocking, laughable, terrifying, hallucinogenic, deranged, tertiary syphilitic performance of Donald Trump in front of the press corps talking. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe the whole sing-songy thing that he did with, well, they'll sue me and I'll sue them and the Ninth Circuit, which shouldn't be, and da-da-da-da. Usually when someone does that, they do that for one sentence. But he went on and on, and then he said, and then I was born in New York and Queen, da-da-da-da, four score. I mean, it was like then it was revealed that he had gone off the teleprompter. He had gone off his notes, classically. There were probably teams of Republicans behind the columns of the White House, you know, frantic, trying to search for where he was in the script, much as they did in the movie Tootsie when Dustin Hoffman goes off script as Dorothy Michaels and begins to reveal that he's actually a man. Do you remember that wonderful scene in Tootsie? So the people in the sound booth are going, uh-oh, uh-oh. What's he doing? What's he doing? Turn to page 33. Oh God, what's he doing? Well, this is a daily occurrence with Donald Trump. Whenever he gets out in public, you can just see the handlers, the everyone from Bitch McConnell and flimsy graham cracker. Everyone is backstage going, oh, dear God, what is he going to say now? Is he going to say weird poo-poo words? Is he going to start talking poo-poo? Is he gonna, what will he say? It's like a deranged, soiled diaper, 300-pound baby. You just don't know what he's going to say in front of the cameras. Well, in my opinion, as bad as that was and as much airtime as that performance by Donald Trump has been getting, Mike Pence has for once trumped, so to speak, Trump. His performance in Europe on two occasions where he spoke to crowds of foreign dignitaries and was met with stunned silence that trumps the Trump debacle of that press conference. And it didn't happen once. It happened twice. And by the way, you can see even in that Mike Pence zombie face of his, those dead eyes, like what Robert Shaw described in Jaws. Oh, a shark has dead eyes, like a doll's eyes, lifeless. They're lifeless, like a doll's eyes. Remember when he said that in the boat, that wonderful scene, Robert Shaw, that's wonderful. And the accent, oh, like a pirate. All he's missing is a peg leg and a parrot and an eye patch. But he says, the dead eyes, like a doll's eyes. It's like, that is Mike Pence. And even Mike Pence with his dead eye, closet fag, demeanor, locked all up, bottled up. I'm convinced he's, some strip poker boy from, the Boy Scouts. It just hasn't come out yet. He clearly, even he flickered. When you see the news, you've got to see those news clips. They're playing them over and over again. Wait till you see his face when the room is silent. It's like, how did those people coordinate being silent? Did they know? Did they all 50 of them or whatever say, listen, when he mentions the president, don't applaud? There wasn't even one half mistaken clap. There was nothing. It was dead silence. And he flickered. You could see the terror in his eyes. What were you going to say, Gwendolyn?
I got to tell you, Mommy, I think it was natural. I think they're all just sitting there going, is he shitting me?
I think maybe you're right. They've so poisoned now. The whole thing is so poisonous that they just are sitting there thunderstruck. Yes, you're right. You're right.
I
agree with you.
Just
you know what?
Sense.
If we could have film
Merkel
of them.
Merkel was good. She pounded
her
down
comments
hard
about the whole thing were catastrophic.
Applause was incredible. But then, next day, Honey Joe got the stage and he said, he apologized in his way. He said, have faith. We're coming back. I promise.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, Joe Biden, he certainly is very senior to be president. I don't know how I feel about, electing a president who will be in his 80s, but whatever. The point is that he spoke eloquently and our own vice president spoke. Was really like a zombie, like a Trump zombie, and was met with a shocking, shocking response, which finally, in some ways, because of the silence of that response, out-trumped when Donald Trump said to the NBC and ABC reporter, well, I'll take you next. No, you. Well, I like ABC a little bit better than NBC. And then he started yelling at the CNN reporter or whatever. These incidents are becoming more and more like videotaped, preserved in amber utterances that we would expect from Caligula, Nero, even Hitler. Hitler was charismatic when he was going off on his tangents. You watch his gestures. I mean, he was a great orator, except that we know that it was all about a nightmare. But even he was compelling. Donald Trump is it tertiary syphilis? Are we not being told that he has a serious a biological problem, because this is going beyond, and I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for his daughter, his wife, his children, I don't give about any of them. I don't give a damn about Mitch McConnell and his Fu Manchu daughter wife. It's like you all are continuing Caligula-esque nightmare going. This man has done everything but disemboweled his sister, carrying his own child and eating it. I mean, everything that they said about Caligula and Nero, the nightmares that they claimed about Caligula, Nero, all of this behavior back then, it's like Trump has gone as close to the edge as you would expect a person in the 21st century to go. And it is, when is someone on the right going to finally call a spade and say, this has got to stop? It's got to stop.
Isn't that incredible to you that all of these Republicans in the Senate have done this, knowing that a majority of them are going to lose their seats for it, especially after the tax returns come in? I mean,
it's shocking.
Stunning to me. It's absolutely stunning. It's like, it's as if it's something out of a fairy tale, but then again, that's my line of work, so hey, why should
right.
I be surprised?
I want to mention three things real quickly apropos of this. One is, I love the French Revolution. I love studying the French Revolution. I love French history, and I love studying that. But, okay, this was an age when you couldn't hop on a jet down the street from Versailles or a helicopter and get out of town. There is evidence that the French nobility, even though they were all housed, they began to be housed in Versailles. That's what Louis XIV did. He centralized the government, the whole aristocracy, by inviting them to live with him in Versailles. And that's why he kept expanding and expanding it. So he literally brought them from their estates, and they were only allowed to visit their estates. But really, he wanted them all to live in his own Disneyland. And that's why he built Versailles to be a Disneyland for the 1%. And that's how he controlled them. Even they, and they did that through Louis XV and then through Louis XVI, they all had become ensconced in the massive complex of Versailles and its outer, you know, wings and wings and wings and additions by the time of Louis XVI. There is historical fact that people in the aristocracy, in the nobility, began right near 1789 to say, yeah, we're going to go away for a weekend. And what they did was they packed as much as they could, and they fled to England. They fled to other places because they started to worry. In Russia, there were Russian members of the aristocracy, and specifically of the Romanov family, its extended family, who began packing up their Fabergé eggs, their Fabergé jewelry. They were saying goodbye to their estates, but they were trying to get as much money out of the country as quickly as possible prior to, well, first of all, in 1905, but then definitely during World War I. They began to become secret, like refugees, and getting away. In Cuba, I love this, Godfather II. You see Godfather II, and there's the famous scene in Havana on New Year's Eve, 1959, 1960, when Michael and Vito and all of them are in the presidential palace. And, you know, the government is falling, and the president gets up in front of everybody and says, folks, I have decided at the last minute just now, a bunch of military officers walk in, generals, and they take him into a conference room. You see that happening. And Michael is watching this in the ballroom with all the people dancing and celebrating. And then the president comes out and says, I can no longer, my situation is no longer tenable here. And you see all of these rich, glamorous Americans and French people and Europeans start scattering. They start leaving the ballroom, and they're running down to the dock, and they're getting into their limos, and they're getting into yachts, and they're going to start the 75-mile trip from Cuba to Miami, you know, to Key West. They're getting out. They're getting out. And Michael flees to his car and tries to get his brother to join him. And is his brother named Vito? It's not Vito. What is he called? Oh,
no.
I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, I'll think of it in a second. What is
Fredo.
It? Fredo, you're still my brother. Fredo, you're still my brother. And Fredo is terrified because he's just been found out as being a conspirator against Michael. He dashes off. Anyway, the bottom line is that the entire city erupts with protesters, the revolutionaries celebrating, firing off guns. They're cheering, they're laughing, they're playing music while all of these rich people flee, right? I am fascinated that we do not have, apropos of what Gwendolyn said just a few minutes ago, we do not have high-end Republicans being revealed as fleeing, that Manafort and Roger Stone, that Mitch McConnell hasn't resigned, that Paul Ryan hasn't moved to Canada or moved to South America. Paul Ryan has not left the country. They apparently aren't afraid, as afraid as I would like them to be. I would like them to be afraid. I would like them to remember the shooting we had on the softball field 2 years ago, where Scalise was shot down by someone who was angry about losing his health care. What were you going to say, Gwendolyn?
I think what your comparison here is really quite frightening, and I don't understand what's going on. It scares me, too, to be honest with you. And I had Republican family in the Senate and the Congress, and they would have never been a part of this crowd. But I mean, people don't stick around. Nixon knew to start putting his money into, all of his banking went outside of the country in the last 6 months that he was in office. It's just very, very strange that nothing.
Well, I guess maybe they've all had an agreement secretly with each other, from Ivanka and to Mitch McConnell, to all of them, Senator Cornyn, all of them. Maybe they've all agreed that if any one of them were to be caught resigning or going for an extended stay, quote unquote, in, Cap d'Antibes, or Mallorca, if anyone was seen to resign, and then anyone was seen to go for an extended vacation or on a cruise that ended up not returning, a cruise where they decide to get off the ship and stayed in the Greek islands, that would be the first indication that the ship of state was upending and sinking. I am flabbergasted that this could be – that we could be drifting towards – that kind of upheaval, and that nobody seems to quite be doing it yet. I don't want to linger on this too much longer because we're going to run out of time tonight, but I do want to say that I want to remind everyone, in France in 1789, people were sitting having their wine and bread in little, Parisian cafes. Mm-hmm. People were chatting over their morning coffee. People were, going to market with their fresh produce and, standing in the stall beside the guy who does the pottery and the other one who's the candle maker. They all thought they were living in a modern country. Certainly France at that time was considered to be one of the foremost countries of all time and civilization. Even with poor people, the middle class, the poor people, they didn't think that they were living in a third world country. They thought they were living in a country that was extraordinary, though lopsided because of, Louis XVI, etc. But they didn't look around and go, God, we're really savages and this is all unraveling. They thought they were living in a civilized country that was putting along. In Russia, they did not think they were living in an uncivilized country. Russia was a dynamic European participant, powerful. The monarch there was direct descendant of Queen Victoria and the Victorian, royalty dream of the 19th century. People thought that Russia was a viable country. They all did. All of the European countries thought they were all viable. This is a center of civilization. And the Russians, said, well, there's a lot of things wrong in this country, but it's not the end of the world. I'm sure that somehow these things will resolve themselves, of course, until they didn't. This happens over and over again. We are living in a country where we still have saran wrap and deodorant, where we have Jergens moisturizing lotion and electric lights that go on at any time of the day or night. Our power never goes out. Our plumbing doesn't shut down. We have all the amenities, all the props, all the distractions of a quote-unquote modern civilized country. And yet, mm-hmm. we have a leader who is acting more and more like a incoherent Caligula, an incoherent madman. And yet we continue, because of our saran wrap and our lime jello and our, you know, our deodorant, our odor eaters, all the amenities of what we have, we continue to think, well, but it'll work out. It'll work out. Now, I'm just going to recommend that everyone, because Turner Classic Movies keeps playing it, I'm going to recommend that you all rent 7 Days in May, Advise and Consent, The Manchurian Candidate, and The Fabulous Four. This is the Fabulous Four films of politics, political thrillers from the 1960s. The fourth one is The Best Man, not the modern one, the old one. So it's The Best Man, 1964. It's The Manchurian Candidate from the 50s. I don't want you to get the modern one. I mean, Meryl Streep was lovely, but no, not that one. Advise and Consent, which you must see, and 7 Days in May with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas. You've got to see those movies. And you've got to see that artists, writers, painters, sculptors, dancers, actors, the artists imagine things as they might be, for good and ill. They imagine flying machines 100 years before anyone can even consider how to fly. They imagined time travel 100 years, 200 years before anyone imagined that it would be possible to time travel. They imagine catastrophes that before they happen. Let's call a spade a spade. The 1970s was about disaster movies, and we even did more and more of them in the 80s and the 90s. Every one of our monster science fiction movies was of New York City being destroyed. What was the one about there were two about comets or asteroids, there, 4th of July or whatever, the Independence Day. We've made movies over and over and over again about our cities being destroyed, and lo and behold, there they are. September 11th. So we've imagined what it would be like to have, we have artists create things and then they come true. And I just want you to know that Hollywood was imagining what would happen if in a safe country, a post-World War II bastion of democracy and prosperity and sanity, the leading person went nuts, or the leading people involved in the country went nuts, or things unraveled around nuclear weapons, the Capitol, the Congress, all of it. Just see those four movies. I'll repeat them one more time. Advise and Consent, 7 Days in May, The Manchurian Candidate, the early one, which is genius, and the most amazing use of Angela Lansbury of all time. Oh, yeah. And The Best Man, 1964 is The Best Man. Watch those. Okay. I want to remind you, our phone number again is 323-784-9639. And we are running out of time. So if you're going to call, you're going to have to call right now. I'm going to address a couple of quick things. And Gwendolyn, you can jump in at any point. Trump's performance at the press conference, I loved his reaction as if he was a bullied 8-year-old who ran to his mommy and daddy about the fact that Alec Baldwin on SNL made fun of him being a brat. So you have a schoolyard where a child, a psychotic child, is a brat, and then some child in the playground does a perfect imitation of him in front of the whole class. Everyone's pointing and laughing. And the brat runs home and tells his mommy and daddy, that's not fair. Why does SNL get away with that? That's the real conspiracy. Why aren't they punished? Why? It's like, oh my God, is no one, can Mike Pence not take a hold of Donald Trump and restrain him and duct tape his mouth so that he doesn't make it worse by crying like a spoiled baby? Why is Ivanka, a modern 21st century woman, or Trump's own bug wife, Melania, that thing that looks like a praying mantis from the planet Uranus, why is no one grabbing him and saying, don't say anything? Don't say anything. Why is no one unplugging the TV so he can't see SNL? Why would he rise to the occasion
and then fuss and say, that's not fair. Why aren't they being, why isn't someone beating up SNL? Why? It's like you just made it worse.
There's something of fate happening now. There's something of fate happening right now. It, you know, when it builds up to a certain point, the pot comes, the lid comes off the pot on the pressure cooker.
I'm going to go on, and it's astounding that the settlement of the Mexico wall situation is that, in fact, Mexico will not pay for the wall, as it's been promised to us from the start, and that that 30% of this country either doesn't remember, doesn't know, or doesn't care, that the biggest hoo-ha, yee-haw, cheering around the bonfire with spears shaking moments in his speech during his campaign were, and they're going to pay for the wall. They're going to pay for all of the wall. They don't seem to care. Folks, we are not in danger from the president. We are in danger from the 30% who are fine with the fact that he does act like Hitler, that he is Hitler, that he is a ghoul, and they think it's okay. That's what they want. They want a man grabbing his crotch and waving it at the crowd, saying, I'm the big man. They want Huey Long. They want, you know, they want a deranged dictator, strange lunatic. That's what they think is the coin of the realm. They want that. And that's who you need to be afraid of. You need to, when you sit at dinner with them, you need to be very aware of what is going on around you, even in your own home and among your own family members. Having said that, Manafort's sentence, I love it. Mueller's finally making statements. He wants Manafort's sentence to be 24 plus years. That would make Manafort basically in his 90s. He wants Roger Stone's apparently to be the same.
I didn't know. That's news to me. That's happy news. But
I thought it was Mueller who was actually asking for that. But maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to check my stats on that. I'll check my stats. But the bottom line is that Manafort's sentence is drifting towards 24 plus years, and Roger Stone's will be at least that much because the problems that they have, the things they've done are absolutely of such grave, grave seriousness that this is turning into, you know, I mean, look at Roger Stone, you know, he's ignoring his squelching that he's not supposed to speak. He can't help it. He can't help it. I'm going to run out of money. I'm out of time here. What, honey? I'm sorry.
I think that judge will probably put Stone in jail before the week is out.
Yes, because of the gag order. He's just out of control. I mean, it's so weird. I want to remind everybody. Oh, folks, if you have a friend in South Carolina, I'm going off the topic completely here because we're running out of time. Boy, if you have friends or family in South Carolina, remind them, check their lottery tickets. $1.5 billion, the highest lottery prize of all time, won by one ticket. One ticket, not shared with 14 people. One ticket, $1.5 billion in the lottery, has not been claimed, and time is running out. Can you imagine if it's like that other story of that married couple in wherever, Polk, Idaho, who were cleaning out a bedside bedstand, a nightstand next to their bed, and they were finding paper clips and, you know, stale packs of chewing gum and whatever, and they found some receipts, and they found a couple of lottery tickets, and on a whim they went in and checked them, and one of them turned out to be worth $1 or $2 million. And here's the punchline: it was only a day or so away from being invalid. They literally whim found them and thought, well, why don't we go in and check them, as opposed to waiting until the weekend. For instance, they ran into their local lottery shop, checked it, and they won something like $1 or $2 million, not the Mega Millions or the Powerball, like a lower down price, the prize, but good God, there it was. And if they'd waited a couple of days, it would have been, it would have expired. This $1.5 billion is lingering, and no one has done anything about it. And they really ought to, because it's, you know, they're going to end up screwed if they don't get down there and take care of it right away. I got a couple of questions. I see we have no calls. I don't know what is going on. I don't know why people message me, but don't want to call in and ask. Anyway, Sybil, do you ever get robocalls? I get them all the time for offers and stuff. Darlings, Mummy gets them hourly. I have counted that I have gotten as many as 12 of those calls a day. They always are unidentified numbers. They are always they're frequently of area codes that are similar to mine, but they're also from area codes that who knows what, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, Uzbekistan, what, who knows. And they will, you know, I'll answer, I'll go hello. And then, of course, it'll either hang up or it'll say, hi, this is Stacy. I'm calling to you about, and then she'll say, I'm calling to you about reverse mortgages. Did you know that your friend Tom Selleck recommends this company as a trustworthy for reverse mortgages for your hi, this is Andrew. Did you know that you qualify for a co-op vacation, a condominium, you know, down in Florida, and that you can, you know, we're going to send you down there, blah, blah, blah. Well, I used to just hang up. And I like how they always say this call may be monitored, you know, or this may be recorded for, you know, customer assurance or training purposes, whatever. Well, I used to just hang up. And then I thought, well, you know what? I would start saying, please don't call this number ever again. Then I started to lace don't call this number ever again with obscenities. And then I decided something new. I thought, you know what? I'm not allowed to say threatening or strange language on Twitter or Facebook. I'm not supposed to use obscene language involving the F word, the C word, the S word, or any of those words on this podcast. Gwendolyn and I, you know, we have to agree to Blog Talk Radio. We're not allowed to say four-letter obscenities. But what I decided was that I was going to start to say things that were so terrible that if it had been recorded and it was played for a class of people that are doing these robocalls or whatever in training purposes, that they would sit there white-haired, saucer-eyed that someone would say this. So tonight, I got a phone call while I was doing the laundry. Before the show, before I left for the Cafe Berlin tonight, during the day, I decided to do a couple of laundry loads, which I love. And I got a phone call, and I was folding the bed sheets, and it was one of these calls. And it was, hi, I'm Stacy, and I'm here calling you about your friend Tom Selleck, who recommends a reverse mortgage. Did you know? And I said, Stacy, I'm going to cut your tits off and mount them on a board as a taxidermy project for the next time the Campfire Girls have a jamboree. I'm going to cut your tits off and mount them as a taxidermy project for the Campfire Girls jamboree. Do you hear me? There was a click. An hour later, I got another phone call. Well, okay,
man.
But hold on. Okay, well, now I've got a subject. So, okay, I got another call. And the second call was from Andrew. Hi there. This is Andrew, and I want to tell you about your vacation in, you know, Boca Raton. You can go. I said, Andrew, if you ever call this number again, I'm going to pick you up by your wiener, and I'm going to swing you around my head four times and throw you off the roof of my building. I decided to come up with the weirdest things to say to them, and it was like I felt so clean. So I want you all at home, when you get these robocalls, to please do the same thing. Think of the most ridiculously absurd and obscene things you can say and heap them on them. Let's see if we can start to squelch those. Okay. All right. I'll take your phone call. Gwendolyn?
845. Yep. 845 area code. Your mic is open. Hello?
Hi there.
Hello?
Who is it?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi. This is Lauren. We've chatted back and forth in your on Facebook.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You're calling at the end of the show. I was like, darling, we've got 2 minutes.
I just remembered 10 minutes ago to put you on, so I did. I figured something's better than nothing. But as for the robocalls... I get them. I got 8 of them the other day. They started at 8 in the morning. The more you answer them, the more they'll call.
Yes, I've heard that. I have heard that, and I usually try to just disconnect them. I just press the disconnect thing immediately, but I couldn't resist. I just had to purge, so that's why I said those obscene things to them. But is there, do you know if there is indeed an app that will block them? I've heard the rumor that there's an app now that
there
you can
is.
Get that will block those calls. But is that just another scam of some? Is that another company getting us to buy into something else?
There's supposed
there
to be
is.
One cell phone, and I did download it, and I think it's worked like twice. It's supposed to identify as spam, so you don't even answer them. But I don't think they block them. I don't think there's really any block.
What they do is they answer. There's the one that works. It's the one that answers every call and says, if this is a call for the person, then stay on the line. After they say, if you're a solicitor, da-da-da-da, we don't accept
those
calls.
Ugh. So frustrating. Well, you know, somebody scolded me the other day on Facebook, not the other day, but about a month ago, and said, well, Mommy, this is the price of the First Amendment, that we're allowed to have freedom of expression and freedom of, you know, interaction and speech and blah, blah, blah. And that this is one of the, if we start nibbling away at the ability of people to, you know, make phone calls, to reach out for different purposes, that we will then be eating into our personal rights, you know, and this is the ACLU apparently is claiming this. So it's very discouraging. It's all part of the First Amendment arguments that we're having all the time about bullying and soliciting and everything. What are you going to do? Anyway, I'm thrilled that you called in. Will you call in next week?
I'll try to remember to call. That's the problem, is remembering. I'm sitting here and watching a replay of John Adams. And I don't know what, I just decided to check Facebook, and then as soon as I looked at it, I said, oh my God, it's Monday night, let me call you. So, but I'm glad.
Well,
I did.
I'm here every Monday night, so feel free to call in and just put it on your calendar and mark it, because we always encourage people to call in and join the conversation. And I look forward to talking to you again more elaborately about, you know, happier subjects too.
Oh, yes, but, you know, politically, I'm so much in agreement with you, and I get so crazy with all of this. And my phrase for this week is, he is the national emergency.
Yes, exactly.
The national emergency is living in the White House.
Yes, and should have a wall built around him immediately. Yes, I'm reminded of Edgar Allan Poe's story, The Cask of Amontillado, in which when the character is buried behind a wall in a basement. Alive. He's literally chained to the wall alive and then buried behind the wall. That's the way the protagonist deals with a problem that has been plaguing him. He just gets rid of the antagonist by burying him behind a wall in the basement. That's the wall we should be building. All right, well, listen, I've got to ring off now because I've got to do my closing things. Thank you so much for calling again.
Sure, of course. Okay,
talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
I want to just address one more thing. I posted a recipe tonight of roast chicken with vegetables, and I got that all going, and I served it before I left the house for the Cafe Berlin tonight to do my broadcast. And I just want you to know that George enjoyed it very much. Roast chicken with vegetables. You can flavor it with spices or different vegetables or whatever. Check my website, or rather my page, SybilSays.com. It actually is up on my website too, SybilSays.com and SybilRuncheon.com, and it's on the Facebook page as well. So check that recipe out. It's simple. It's for those of you that get home from work and don't have enough time from the time you walk in the door to the time you want to eat dinner to make a dinner from scratch. Well, you can have a fabulous dinner, delicious, nutritious, nearly calorie-free, but fabulous just by being clever at your grocery store. So you can do that, and you don't have to do it with TV dinners. You don't have to rely on Bird's Eye or Swanson. You can do it and get a roast chicken and do a whole bunch of things and have it ready in an hour or so, and it's fabulous. Sybil Brunchen, I just got a note here. Should we legalize grass? Absolutely, both on the lawn and in your marjoram jar on your kitchen counter. Yes, exactly. Should we legalize grass? Sybil, did you inhale? I always inhale, darling, except during fellatio. I never inhale during fellatio. Are you pro-unions? Gwendolyn's going to have to think about that for a second. Are you pro-unions? Yes, I belong to three unions, darling. Thank you for asking. Will you owe more money for taxes this year or get more back? As it turns out, I am yet another one of those people who will owe more money thanks to Donald Trump. I will owe more money, not less. How was Las Vegas? Enchanting, darlings. Enchanting. I'm going to ring off on that. I'm not going to do anything more than that. We'll save some of these questions for next week. I want to remind you in the time we have left that my sponsor was daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of your ancestors. I'll see you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I love you all. Have a great night. Gwendolyn, ring us on out of here, and I'll see you next Monday. Love you, darling, so much. Good night.
I love you. Bye-bye.